Those are not easy scriptures by any means, but I do appreciate the words of Jesus that we hear echoed throughout the Gospels, the same words that we hear from the angels from time to time in the Gospels. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. So there's a comedian from Wisconsin who I happen to watch on YouTube from time to time, and one of my friends introduced me to him, and he's really, really funny. He was on Last Comic Standing a couple years ago. His name is Pete Lee. Pete Lee. Have you ever heard of him? Maybe. Yeah. And he's a pretty hilarious guy, just kind of goofy. And I happened to be watching a YouTube video of him on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon a couple weeks ago. And he has this wholesome Midwestern kind of dorky sense of humor about him. And it's just so goofy that you can't help but laugh. It's just cute. And his Wisconsinite accent really helps quite a bit as well, because he definitely stands out among all these, you know, coasters, people out on the West Coast, people out on the East Coast, stuff like that. Well, as he was doing this skit on Fallon's show, he started talking about how he's a feminist. He said, "I'm a feminist. I'm so much of a feminist that I do these things." He just sees exaggerated examples. Each one becomes a little more goofy and goofy and goofy and out there. And then he ends by saying something. He says, "Who knew that women were people up until last year?" What? Who knew that women were people up to last year? I knew. I've always known in my heart. And the reason why he says this, and the audience kind of erupts with this nervous laughter, and the reason why he says this sarcastically is because it seems like barely a day goes by. You can turn on TV or go to the news, scroll through your social media of choice, where it seems like women are being treated as less than human, where men in positions of power take advantage of them. And you might think that that sounds like something ancient. Oh, you know, the 21st century, that's something distant, that's something from another place and another time. And it can't be right here and right now. But that's not the case. And that's why he joked about it. Enter the Me Too movement. You know, we live in a hinge point in history, in the 21st century, where women of all different backgrounds, different races, different socioeconomic classes, different religions, different experiences, are speaking out about being treated as less than human, about being victimized, about being the target of harassment or discrimination or abuse, about their experience of having males wield power over their bodies, over their futures, over their lives. And in this cultural moment, we hear that women seem to share a common experience. When they have the courage to speak out, and in numbers, they have brought down those in positions of power. Men who have thought they were invincible. Men who have thought they could get away with anything for being what they are, for being bad people. We live in a point in history where men of tremendous power and influence and wealth have been held accountable for being bad humans, for not living into the call that God has for all people. And where we are as a society, I think we need to open our ears and our hearts to listen to the voices of those that are speaking up and out. I think that this cultural movement and moment in history is a helpful way to think about the scripture that I read and kind of fumbled through, especially as a guy reading through it, from 2 Samuel. Because it's a story we don't read very often. We We don't hear about it. We don't preach it very frequently. It's a scripture that's really sad. It's a scripture that's often told from the perspective of King David. King David. Which makes the story about him. If you read the King James Version of the Bible or the New Revised Standard Version or the New International Version or whatever version of your choice, the story of Bathsheba is often called David's sorrow, David's sin, which makes the story about him, which gives him all the power again. But it is not David's story. It is Bathsheba's story. In the words of Jennifer Brooks, Jennifer Brooks, the survivor has a story to tell that places her in solidarity in the annals of history. Hers is a story of survival. It is a story of courage and strength. It is a story where she speaks for all people, female and male, who suffer abuse and have that suffering compounded as they're further victimized. So this morning, I wanted to wade into this story from 2 Samuel so we can reclaim this biblical Me Too story and let it work in our hearts so that we can be good humans, that we can learn to listen to others' stories and give that power back to them. Over the past few weeks, we've journeyed through Mark's gospel. And Mark has wanted us to experience, I believe, what it is like when kings have unchecked power, when they are tyrants that run amok. We heard that John the Baptist had his head taken when he called out the king and queen, Herod and Herodias. Herod had him imprisoned, but Herodias wanted him dead. And none of King Herod's constituents said a thing. Not a single one of them spoke up when he went to go have John the Baptist killed. They were complicit in that murder. And then the next week, we heard the prophet Jeremiah rail against leaders who scatter the flocks of Israel. Woe to those who scatter my sheep, says God. I will raise up a shepherd that will really shepherd the heck out of those leaders. And then we heard about Jesus scooping up those who were like sheep without a shepherd, being moved with compassion in his gut to them, to take care of those who had no place to lay their head, who simply were looking for a better life. Well, today, in our Old Testament reading from Samuel, we hear from the prophets again. And we hear about, I think, most likely, the Bible's favorite king. King David, one with unchecked power, one who abuses his office for sexual misconduct and murder. Misconduct of the highest order, and abuses of power. Flip through a newspaper, turn to any news outlet, conservative, liberal, in between. Again, it is almost a weekly occurrence that some celebrity, some politician, some public official, someone who is supposed to be a good human being exposed and brought down, named as abusers, having their sin named for what it is. In our story today, Bathsheba says, me too. Bathsheba was a woman that was in her rightful place. She was where she was supposed to be. She was having the ritual bath that was required at the end of her cycle. Yeah, that's in the Bible. And according to the temple laws, the purity laws, the laws by which she stayed in her lane, the laws by which she played her role in that community, in that society, in that time. She was where she was supposed to be. She was considered unclean unless she took a ritual bath. Until she went through that rite of cleansing, she could not be back in community again. She couldn't come back to church, and that's all she wanted to do. And although she was branded unclean by the time and the place and the culture, this function was God ordained to have babies, bear children. It's a beautiful thing. She knew this. She knew the rules. She was where she was supposed to be, her rightful place. But we hear about David. David was a man that was not in his rightful place. He was not where he was supposed to be. He was a king, for crying out loud, and there was a battle going on. We hear his commander, his general, Joab, saying, "Here's how the battle's going." We hear from one of his troops, Uriah, "This is what's going on. I don't think I should be going home and taking a bath right now and relaxing. It's a battle going on." But instead of being where he was supposed to be, at the head of his troops, the warrior king, David, was playing hooky. While his men were fighting on the battlefield, while his men were dying for his causes, on both sides, while people were fighting and dying, he was spying on a woman that was in her right place, taking care of herself so she could go back to church, instead of leading his troops into battle. You ever hear that old adage about the devil finding a use for idle hands? That's what David is doing. David deliberately neglected the task that he was called to as king to defend his people. He played hooky. Spied on a bathing woman. And when David sees what David wants, with unchecked power, he gets it. David calls his agents, we hear, to go and get that woman, to bring her back to him. Bathsheba is powerless in this story. She reveals to David that she is pregnant, and this pregnancy is not one that she wanted. And when she turns to him for help, David has Uriah, her husband, sent to the front lines in battle where he would surely die and the story would end. Her story ends with David's instructions regarding the method of how Uriah will be killed. And she disappears from the Bible. She doesn't show up again. Make no mistake. Her story is a Me Too story in Scripture. Her story is the story of victims everywhere who are often disappeared, made silent, or those who cannot get out of their situation and are victimized further. Those whose stories go unrealized or maybe unnoticed or are ignored or not believed. In a way, it's a blessing that Uriah dies, because his victimization, his being taken advantage of by this king, ends right there and then. But Bathsheba's continues. Her situation is overlooked. We don't hear what happens. She's just gone. This is a story for men and women, for citizen or alien, for Christian, Muslim, Jew, atheist, whoever. Those that have been ignored, those that have been silenced, those that we don't believe. To paraphrase the theologian, Jennifer Brooks, what response is required of us when innocent ones are victimized? How can we, the church, provide a place of safety and become a refuge for those that have been victimized? Because the story of Bathsheba is one that calls us to ask ourselves, what is our response when others call out in pain? How do we see or hear them? Do we see or hear them? And have we told them that God sees and hears them? And how are we, or can we, be representatives of God's justice for them? It is my prayer for us that we can listen, that we can have our hearts open, that we can have our minds open to the stories of those that have been victimized, past, present, or future, that we can find a place in our hearts to listen to this call of God, to listen to the other, and to hold those in power accountable, from the highest in the land, the Davids and the Herods, to the neighbors, maybe even the people sitting in the pews, to be the people that God has called each of us to be, good human beings. Amen.